This Sunday, September 28th, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra opens its 2014 Chamber Classics series with a concert featuring cellist Wesley Baldwin. He will perform Boccherini's Cello Concerto in B-flat major. Also on the program is Beethoven's Coriolan Overture and also Beethoven's Symphony No. 4. The concert begins at 2:30 p.m. and is being presented at the Bijou Theater in downtown Knoxville. And here to talk with me a little bit about this concert is cellist Wesley Baldwin. It's wonderful to see you here today, Wesley. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's lovely to be with you.
You are playing Boccherini's Cello Concerto in B-flat major on this concert, and I believe you said that this was the first concerto that you learned to play.
It is. It is. I got the chance to first learn this concerto, my gosh, I think my sophomore year in high school, and I played it and played it and played it that year. Boy, is it a lovely piece and a great one for a young person who's really enthusiastic to get to throw their arms into, you know. So I have a long association with the piece and just love it dearly.
What about it makes it a great student concerto?
Well, I think it's just a great concerto. I mean, it's just great music. It's extremely well written for the cello. The version that we hear now is written by Boccherini, one of the first great virtuosos on the cello, and one of the first people to write serious opus for cello as a solo instrument. Boccherini wrote a gazillion, that's a technical term, concertos for cello, and he wrote a bunch of sonatas for cello and some quintets with a couple cellos. And all of them featured really virtuoso writing on the instrument. We know, of course, he's an Italian composer, but he spent a lot of his life, you know, in Spain at the court there and dazzled everybody with his cello playing and the writing that he came up with for cello. He had to because it was really no solo literature for the instrument. But then the version of this concerto that we hear now is actually a pastiche of a couple different Boccherini concertos. Grützmacher, who was one of the great cello pedagogues of the 19th century, took his favorite bits from several Boccherini concertos and put them together. So the slow movement that we hear in G minor actually comes from the G major Boccherini concerto, but it is just such a fantastic slow movement. I quite agree with Grützmacher's decision to put it in this new version. But Grützmacher was also a really great cellist, right? So you have several layers of cellist composers taking a stab at this piece and designing it to be something that really shows off the instrument beautifully, even in its higher registers. While it's got some serious technical challenges, and it's all sort of idiomatic for the instrument. Nothing about it just sort of feels like it should have been written for clarinet or something. Mm-hmm. Right? It really feels like it should be written for cello. So in those ways, it's an incredibly satisfying piece to play. And yeah, I mean, for a younger cellist learning it, you know, you've really got to be on your game to play the piece. But if you're putting in the time and you've had the, you know, requisite years of study before you get to it, it's a very gratifying piece to play, you know, because it really shows off the instrument so nicely.
How is it different to return to a piece you've known for a while and have performed numerous times as opposed to performing a work that's brand new to you?
Well, it just feels much more like an old friend. You know, mm-hmm. You feel like you can trust it. You can trust each other more, which mm-hmm. is great. And I have this conversation with my students all the time. You know, how do we get a piece to the point at which it's completely metabolized in your system? It's sort of at a point at which you can feel really free on stage, you know, and a piece that you've lived with for many years, many decades, if you've been doing your work correctly, right, should have that kind of quality to it that you really feel free and open. And one of the challenges with a brand new piece is that you want your first performance already to be in that space. So it has a different kind of comfort factor, right? Mm-hmm. And you can hopefully get a clearer sense as a performer, you get a clearer sense of architecture for mm-hmm. the whole piece.
Tell us about your cello. How long have you had it?
I've had this cello since about a year before I came to Tennessee. So I've had it since about 1997. It was made by arguably the best French maker ever, J.B. Vuillaume, made in Paris in maybe 1860s, somewhere early 1860s. So this is the fellow who first really made a study of examining and measuring and trying to analyze the best instruments of the golden period in Cremona. So Vuillaume, at a certain period of time, he actually owned a whole bunch of Stradivarius and Guarneri di Jesu instruments and so forth. And he reached such a high level with his mastery of the craft of making instruments that, you know, many of his instruments are prized very, very, very highly. And sort of for somebody who doesn't have $11 million for a Strad, while they're still substantially expensive, that, you know, it's the qualities that you can get from that kind of instrument are just unbelievable, really. So I'm incredibly privileged to have it. I was really lucky to get a chance to acquire it, I guess something like 18 years ago now, and or 17 years ago. And I borrowed money from every extended family member I had and then took a big leap. And I'm really lucky to get to be a custodian of that cello.
What about it just makes it belong to you? Why were you attracted to this cello?
Well, this cello has a really wide palate. It has a very powerful voice and a very clear voice. It's also not quirky in terms of going from string to string. It doesn't feel like you're going from one personality. I mean, yes, there's a change of timbre as you go from one string to another, but it doesn't feel like, you know, the A string is from Detroit and then the, like the G string is from like Tokyo or something like that. It's not like a totally different world of sound. So that allows me, and this Bachrini concerto this weekend, there's a lot of stuff in which I'll be playing back and forth between two strings, oscillating back and forth. And in a cello like this, I'm allowed to do that kind of fingering. And it's going to really work. But also, it's a very powerful instrument. The reason I started looking for another cello, I had a lovely, I don't know, 100 and some odd year old Italian cello that was terrific and a gorgeous sound. And for a couple of years, I've been hearing from people that it just was never loud enough in a concert hall. And I got so tired of hearing that. I finally was willing to start looking at some other instruments. And this cello, actually within the first 30 seconds, I really recognized, wow, this could do what I needed to do. You know, really interesting sound. And it suggests a range of sounds, which is great. But also, like, if you sink in and ask it to resonate like crazy and fill a hall, it will happily do that for you.
In addition to being quite an active performer, you carry a very full teaching schedule, both at the University of Tennessee and also private students as well. Yeah. This may be a difficult question to answer, but could you share one moment in teaching that was just incredibly rewarding? A standout.
I can share a moment from the last hour before I came over here. I was teaching a lesson until just like 5 minutes before I came to you. So I'm working with a brilliantly talented 11-year-old cellist, and I've been doing lessons with her for 2 or 3 years now, and really beautiful artist, you know, at a young age, you know. So an incredibly satisfying moment today, a couple in this lesson, having to do with exploring soundscapes and the way it relates to phrasing. I don't know if this will make sense the way I'm describing it. So this 11-year-old who is doing this really high-level artistic stuff with Rachmaninoff vocalese today, exploring sonic beauty with what she's doing with her bow arm and sinking in with her bow arm, a couple of technical details there, but really engaging the cello for sort of maximum resonance and ring and connecting that to vibrancy, the wiggling with your left hand, sort of changing the pitch, which adds just to the beauty and complexity of the sound and also can help direct our ears note to note to make a phrase more compelling, the way singers are so good at doing. And my gosh, you know, in the middle of this lesson, we worked on three, four, five, six, seven things to try to move us in these directions. You know, she's sounding like $1 million, you know, like, so that kind of thing, that sort of sense of being present at discovery with a student. And in addition, you know, just hearing great cello playing from, you know, somebody of any age, those are moments that I just relish in teaching. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other performances coming up soon, particularly in the Knoxville?
Yes. Well, actually, as crazy as it is, you know, we don't always choose our timing in advance. So this Sunday, I get to play the Bachrini Concerto, which is going to be so great, with my dear friend and colleague, Jim Fellenbaum, of many years now, and lots of colleagues I've known for a long time in the KSL. That's going to be so fun. And next Sunday, actually, I go play the Brahms Double Concerto in Cookeville. So this little stretch is kind of busy. Then later in October, back in Knoxville on the 22nd, I'm really excited, a project that we've been trying to coordinate to do for a bunch of years now. I'm going to get to be involved with a recital with Melissa Barrick, a soprano, and Gary Spurl, who's the recently retired clarinet professor at UT. This gives you a sense of how many years we've been working on trying to schedule this. And Eileen Downey, who's on that piano staff at UT, with some great stuff, some unusual pieces. There's a piece by Spohr for soprano, clarinet, piano that I will enjoy listening to, and then a piece by Taverner, Akhmatova songs with soprano and cello that Melissa and I did 3 or 4 years ago at a festival on Lake Michigan, which we've been dying to do again, and then some pieces for just clarinet and cello, one of them called Disco Toccata, which should be of interest, and one of them actually by the KSO music director, Lucas Richmond, which we're playing. So there's sort of a very interesting program with people I adore making music with, so that's going to be really fun.
Excellent. That was October 22nd, you said?
Yeah.
Well, it's been absolutely wonderful talking with you today, Wesley.
Honey, it's just really great to get to be with you.
That was cellist Wesley Baldwin, who's performing Bachrini's Cello Concerto in B-flat major, along with the Knoxville Symphony Chamber Orchestra, this Sunday afternoon at 2:30 p.m., Also being presented on the concert are two works by Beethoven, his Coriolan Overture, and the Symphony No. 4. Both will be conducted by Maestro James Fellenbaum. I should mention that this performance is eligible for the Penny for Arts program, which allows students K-12 to attend free with purchase of an adult ticket. More information on this event can be found online at knoxvillesymphony.com or by phone at 291-3310.